Hi, this is John Barber from IDW Publishing. You are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
This is artist Josh Burcham, and you jumped inside the pull bag only on the GeekCast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Hello and welcome to the pull bag, which we are crossing over as we unleash the beast in you on the other show. What's the other show called? I don't know.
All Things Transformers?
Yes, there's that too.
The pull bag? The Beast Unleashed podcast?
That's right. As we start on the end of the road for the beasts.
No!
That's right, folks. IDW Publishing
is for losing the rights.
Okay, no, well, we can talk about that. Yes. So, IDW Publishing at the end of 2022 will no longer have the Transformers and G.I. Joe comic licenses. Apparently, Hasbro has partnered with some new company. They are not willing to divulge that information of who the new company is yet, though, as of this recording and as of probably most likely this publishing. But, yeah, we are here to talk about the 2022 Beast Wars Annual. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't know, Steve Megatron is here. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well.
Yes. That's good. So, in the Beast Wars Annual, we have three stories with three different creative teams, and this I do not mind, because they are three individual stories written by six different people. Written and drawn by six different people. So the first story is Scold's No Good, Very Bad Day, written by Sam Maggs, art by Lana Sovani. The second story is Rhinox's Amazing Adventure, written by David Marriott, art by Philip Johnson. And then the third story, which is, I'm not going to bury the lead on this one, folks, it's my least favorite of the three, The Morphlings, written by Nick Marino, with art by Andrea Bell. Editor Jasmine Joyner, assistant editor Riley Farmer, lettered by Jake M. Wood. Hey, the M is back. He took out his M for a while. But yeah, Beast Wars 2022 Annual, kicking it off with Scold's No Good, Very Bad Day.
Is it bad that I just really hate that title?
Well,
because
it's referencing
too many of those in recent years, and I just really, yes, really can't stand it.
Yes, well, I'm having a no good, very bad night with these stupid allergies and my nose problems and all that, so I can see where she's coming from. What was your and what is your opinion of Scold?
I mean, I could take her or leave her.
Okay.
It was kind of an interesting backstory, but I kind of felt like the character really didn't do a whole heck of a lot once in the story. I mean, other than some key moments of massacre.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really, where she comes in is in the battle scenes, and she really, really performs well. Overall, as a new character, as a character we've never known, as a character that doesn't need to be beholden to 25 years of continuity, I really dug her. I thought she was interesting. Her and Nyx and some of the other characters that they brought into this that we had never seen before, I thought was really, really cool. And basically, this is a very, very short story of how she was having a no good, very, very bad day. And the art is amazing. I absolutely love the art in this. I think it's great. Lana Savani does a great Beast Wars Megatron. In that second page of her with all the bots in her head, you look at that Megatron face and dang. And what does he say in that panel?
Is it the one with the splintering of glass?
Yep.
I don't have time for your foolishness.
That's right. Folks, Steve Megatron doesn't always make the references, but when he does, he, at least in this case, he kind of screwed it up. It's the shattering of the glass. Come on, man. Not splintering. You want splinters, go over to TMNT. So yeah, Scold's no good, very bad day. And I'm probably going to keep saying it because I kind of like it. She basically gets bullied by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And this sucks. Because she's not doing anything. Like, she's just existing. She's living her life. She's not even, like, the very first page, you know. She's got Pterosaur, who has been her chief bully in the entire series to this point. And he's been the only one to really do it, I think, if I remember correctly.
Pretty much.
But basically, everybody else brings it. I mean, I don't think Megatron really has anything to do with it. I mean, like he said,
I don't have time for your foolishness.
But everybody else, and seriously, Waspinator, really? Waspinator is going to get in on the bullying? Really?
Yeah, he's an idiot. Like,
well, yes, he's an idiot, but he's more of an idiot in the next story than he is in this story. And the fact that they have Waspinator in two major roles out of these three stories in this comic is just crazy to me, but okay, sure, fine. So, yeah, Scold kind of gets fed up, and she runs into a maximal prisoner named Power Hug.
Yep.
I know this is Sam Maggs writing, and I'm not sure why she decided, if she was the deciding factor in this character name. Okay, fine, sure. But Power Hug seems to do the exact same thing that everyone else has done to her, but he's a maximal. And, you know, he then, after he does all this stuff to her, he spritzes in her eyes and he shoves her down. And then he picks her back up and he gives her a power hug, because that's his name. And she just, you know, it looks like she's going to have a new friend, but not really. She explains to him, you know, why she feels the way she does. He does his little power hug thing, and then, you know, she tells him all the things she likes about herself. And the next thing you know, she rips his head off. Literally.
Yeah, she decapitates him.
Yep, pretty much.
She's like, hey, guess what? I can rip your head off too.
Yep. And, yeah, I am strong. I am capable. I can do whatever I set my mind to. And, yeah, she just leaves him on the floor. Yep, she did. And the story ends with Pterosaur's shocked face. Huh? All the other Predacons have really, really worried looks on their faces.
I love how they show Black Arachnia there. And
I'm like, she looks like she's the most worried out of them all.
Well, I also was mentioning the fact that she shouldn't technically be there.
That's true.
If they're watching Scold, you know, arrested because they're on Earth.
Well, no, yes, they're on Earth, but Black Arachne has been here the whole time.
I know, but she technically was a converted protoform.
That's true, but
it doesn't make sense for any of this to have happened.
That is very true.
Continuity wise, like, it's
it's a very much a one-off Scold centric story, and you're right, it doesn't make any sense for her, but I just, that look on her face, man, wow. She looks like she's the most scared out of them all. Overall, what'd you think of this first story?
Not bad. I didn't really care. I mean, it also seemed like there was some different meshing of different art styles.
Yeah, and it is just one artist on this, but I think that they were... Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't really care for the story.
If this is, I mean, I know this isn't because we still have next week with the final two issues, or no, in a couple of weeks, the final two issues, because next week is Transformers Back to the Future. But, if this was Skold's last thing, it's not.
It's kind of weak. It's more so what I was getting at. Like, I was kind of expecting something more.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't this.
Yeah. I think this adds to her character.
It adds to her backstory, kind of, but it really kind of, like, the rest of it kind of just throws me out of it.
Yeah. Like, I wish that, and I know Sam Maggs is not Eric Burnham, who is the overall writer on the main part of the series, but I wish that somehow in this series, Skold could have maybe been the, instead of having Black Arachnia be who Black Arachnia is. And I know technically they were going for season one Beast Wars, but if you're introducing new characters like Nyx and like Skold, maybe have Skold be the Predacon that switches sides. I mean, Skold is immensely loyal, and she just wants to live her Predacon life, which is fine. But if this issue is any indication of how the Predacons think of her, the other Predacons anyway, like, that's just ridiculous, and it's crazy, and it's weird. I don't know. And Terrorsaur, of all people to be a bull. I mean, I know Terrasaur has always been a vain kind of bot, but come on. Oh, God. Yeah, 0 to 5, I'd probably give this a 3.5 at best. Maybe.
I'll give it a 2.
Okay.
Just didn't do anything for me.
Yep. Moving on to Rhinox's Amazing Adventure. I do like the art style here, but I was really hoping he was going to chomp on some bean vines there for a couple of minutes in this opening panel with the jungle, with him walking through the jungle aspect of it. I was like, wait a minute, he's missing some bean vines there. Wild bean vines, good lord. So he gets trapped in a trap.
Like a rat in a trap.
And he has to find his way out, and he hears a voice in the darkness, even though he gets shocked all to hell from one of the other traps, a trap within a trap. So he... he wants to play Marco Polo with this other person who is trapped down here with him, and they use Optimus and Prime. And you should have clearly known what this, or at least who this other person was, because boring Autobot, but okay. Like, even I didn't know who this was going to be, but obviously it makes sense once Rhinox reaches Waspinator. And the rest of the story is them getting out of this trap. I like the art. I think the colors are nice. I think that the whole why universe hate Waspinator kind of thing, obviously they kept that aspect. That's very cool. But this one just, I don't know. I get that these are supposed to be vignettes and they're not supposed to be like full story arc type things. these first two anyway. And I don't know. I almost like this less than the Scold one.
I kind of like this one more just because, like, Waspinator and the art kind of going on. Although yeah. some of it is kind of abstracty and cheap looking in places.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that they're both stuck in a maze.
Yeah. I like the art. I think the art's great. I think the art looks really cool. I think both of them look really good. We have at least one scene of Rhinox doing Chain Guns of Doom. But it's just them trying to get out of this trap. That's it. And Rhinox doesn't even get out. Like, that's so anticlimactic. Like, he helped Waspinator when he didn't have to, even though he's a Maximal and he should always help people. But, I mean, this is an enemy after all, and we all know that Waspinator would double-cross anybody anyway. But, mm-hmm. like, seriously, Waspinator? You couldn't put your differences aside for once? Yeah. After he helped you? After everyone in the whole known universe is always against you, and he actually helped you, and you couldn't, like, no, this is why I don't like this. Like, if I was just rating this story on the art alone, it would probably get a 4. But the story, because he leaves him there?
It seems in character.
It seems in character, but, like, we don't, like Rhinox came in with falling into the trap. To borrow a phrase, well, that's just Prime. He ends it on, well, that's just Prime. Yep. And it's like, come on, you could go your separate ways after you both get out. Like, even Optimus and Megatron had a truce for a time. I mean, it didn't last very... Hell, even Optimus and Galvatron had a truce for a time.
Yeah.
It never lasted very long, but at least they... What are you going to rate this one?
I'll probably give it a 4. I didn't mind it as much. It seemed very in character and like something that would happen to them.
But it's too cliffhangery. At least have Cheetor come whizzing by on his jets or something. I got to give it a 2.5. I can't. On writing alone, I can't give it anything higher than a 2.5. And then we get to the continuity-based story. So this, The Morphlings, takes place between issues 15, which we did last episode, and issue 16, which we will do in 2 weeks. So, yeah, I don't like the Vok. I just don't.
I don't mind the Vok. I just don't like the art for this one, period.
Yeah. I don't even think it's a mishmash of styles. It's just a bad style.
Well, and they're mixing part of Beast Machines into this.
Yeah, which is not what they should have done.
It's basically Beast Machines.
Yeah, that's... No.
With the drones, Megatron hooked up to the central computer, Mega Savage. It's like Noble and Savage. And
yep, Mega Savage.
Wired up, Megatron just bigger, better.
Yep. And is that Botanica?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just had to make sure. I saw the plants, and I was like, wait a minute.
No, the you know, because they get down to a panel on page 26 of it. It says only 3 remained: Night Shriek, Night Scream, Botanica, mm-hmm. Botanicus, Silverclaw, Silverbolt.
Yep. Yeah, okay, I see now. Yeah, this is not...
And I was just like, why?
This like, is too bright for Beast Machines.
This is just weird in general.
Yeah, very, very weird. And what I don't understand is why it ends on the panel that it ends on with supposedly Rhinox and Rat Trapper there, And then Cheetor is at the end. Come on, it's only a story, Megawit. Or Megawit couldn't mess things up that... Oh, he's talking about Megatron. Duh. Yeah. Cheetor, as much as I love you, dude, you're way too damn naive at this point to... Like, you haven't gone through your great transformation yet. For me, the coolest thing to come out of this annual is the cover, the retail incentive cover done by Lana, who did the art in the first story of Megatron, Rhinox, and Scold. That's the best thing that I got for the 2022 Beast Wars annual.
Yeah, I like the cover art mostly.
Yep. I will say that we do get, at the back of this book, we get more character designs done by Josh Burcham.
I love Armadillo.
Yep.
Because I had the original toy.
Very cool.
Back in the day. I don't have them anymore. If they ever reissue them, I'll probably splurge. But I would like to see them updated, honestly. But
yeah.
Because it kind of reminds me of Ironhide.
Oh, yeah.
In the face. And then the yep. rest of him kind of reminds me of, like, almost a Wheeljack or a Ratchet or something. And then you have, yeah. you know, whatever that mutant thing is. And then you have the, you know, Polar Claw, the Children of the Vok.
Yep, yep.
So,
yep. But yeah, that's Beast Wars Annual. That's our third to last issue of this series.
I'm pretty sad that the Beast Wars line is almost done for comics.
Yeah, well, it's been done for a while. I mean,
I know
we're getting to these things late because of life and everything else. But yeah, if IDW has the license until the end of the year, the only... And I don't know why that they're not continuing on at least until maybe October. I know solicits usually come out a few months ahead of time, but I know there's also supply chain issues and everything else, but I don't get it with them losing the license, why they wouldn't want, I'm going to say Eric and Josh, because they are the two main people on the actual main ongoing, why they wouldn't let or want them to be let have them have their full on, whatever their vision was, to go past where we ended up. I don't understand it. And I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just crazy. And we're going to talk about this more in 2 weeks because it's just the way it is since we're recording these episodes back to back tonight. So yeah, I expect more. We don't really understand why not and whatever, as far as them not continuing on with this, because they were going at a pretty good clip there. And I guess between trade paperbacks, they've got enough for 3 volumes, which is great. And I'd be interested to see how, like, when this is collected, what kind of additional, like, we've seen since the beginning of the series, all of the character designs that Josh has done for various characters and things like that in almost every issue. And it's going to be really cool to be able to have those in trade. So who knows? I don't know. You got anything else you want to say before I close it out there, sir?
Mm-hmm. No.
All right. Where can the people find you online?
On the Twitter at SCP21.
I am at TFGM Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio and at The Pullbag on Twitter as well. You can hear us on all podcatching clients. You can obviously visit the website, leave comments and all that kind of good stuff there. Send us an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com and join us next week when we are going to be traveling back in time with the Transformers as we cross over with Back to the Future, because next Saturday night you're gonna see some serious shit here inside the pull bag, only on All Things Transformers.
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.